Chapter 14 of Emily Climbs by Lucy Maud Montgomery. This Legumous recording may be distributed and adapted freely for any purpose. Chapter 14. The Woman Who Spanked the King. The wet dawn came up from the gulf in the wake of the spent storm and crept grayly into the little spare room of the whitewashed house on the hill. Emily woke with a start from a troubled dream of seeking and finding the lost boy. But where she had found him she could not now remember. Ilse was still asleep at the back of the bed, her pale gold curls lying in a silken heap on the pillow. Emily, her thoughts still tangled in the cobweb meshes of her dream, looked around the room, and thought she must be dreaming still. By the tiny table, covered with its white lace-trimmed cloth, a woman was sitting, a tall, stout old woman, wearing over her thick gray hair a spotless white widow's cap, such as the old Highland Scotch women still wore in the early years of the century. She had on a dress of plum-colored drugget with a large snowy apron, and she wore it with the air of a queen. A neat blue shawl was folded over her breast. Her face was curiously white and deeply wrinkled, but Emily, with her gift for seeing essentials, saw instantly the strength and vivacity which still characterized every feature. She saw, too, that the beautiful, clear blue eyes looked as if their owner had been dreadfully hurt some time. This must be the old Mrs. McIntyre, of whom Mrs. Hollinger had spoken. And if so, then old Mrs. McIntyre was a very dignified personage indeed. Mrs. McIntyre sat with her hands folded on her lap, looking steadily at Emily with a gaze in which there was something hard to define, something just a little strange. Emily recalled the fact that Mrs. McIntyre was supposed to be not quite right. She wondered, a little uneasily, what she should do. Ought she to speak? Mrs. McIntyre saved her the trouble of deciding. "You will be having Highlandmen for your forefathers," she said, in an unexpectedly rich, powerful voice, full of the delightful Highland accent.
"Yes," said Emily.
"And you will be Presbyterian?"
"Yes."
"They will be the only decent things to be," remarked Mrs. McIntyre, in a tone of satisfaction. "And will you please be telling me what your name is?" "Emily Starr. That will be a very pretty name. I will be telling you mine. It is Mistress Margaret McIntyre. I am no common person. I am the woman who spanked the king."
Again Emily, now thoroughly awake, thrilled with the storyteller's instinct. But Ilse, awakening at the moment, gave a low exclamation of surprise. Mrs. McIntyre lifted her head with a quite regal gesture.
"You will not be afraid of me, my dear. I will not be hurting you, although I will be the woman who spanked the king. That is what the people say of me. Oh, yes, as I walk into the church, she is the woman who spanked the king."
"I suppose," said Emily hesitatingly, "that we'd better be getting up."
"You will not be rising until I have told you my tale," said Mrs. McIntyre firmly. "I will be knowing as soon as I saw you that you will be the one to hear it. You will not be having very much colour, and I will not be saying that you are very pretty. Oh, no. But you will be having the little hands and the little ears. They will be the ears of the fairies, I am thinking. The girl with you there, she is a very nice girl, and will make a very fine wife for a handsome man. She is clever, oh, yes. But you have the way, and it is to you I will be telling my story."
"Let her tell it," whispered Ilse. "I'm dying of curiosity to hear about the king being spanked."
Ilse, who realized that there was no letting in the case, only a matter of lying still and listening to whatever it seemed good to Mistress McIntyre to say, nodded.
"You will not be having the twa talks. I will be meaning the Gaelic."
Spellbound, Emily shook her black head.
"That is a pity, for my story will not be sounding so well in the English, oh no. You will be saying to yourself the old woman is having a dream, but you will be wrong, for it is the true story I will be telling you. Oh, yes. I spanked the king. Of course, he would not be the king then. He would be only a little prince and no more than 9 years old, just the same age as my little Alec. But it is at the beginning I must be, or you will not be understanding the matter at all. It was all a long, long time ago, before we ever left the old country. My husband would be Alistair McIntyre, and he would be a shepherd near the Balmoral Castle. Alistair was a very handsome man, and we were very happy. It was not that we did not quarrel once in a while. Oh, no, that would be very monotonous. But when we made it up, it was more loving than ever we would be, and I would be very good-looking myself. I will be getting fatter and fatter all the time now, but I was very slim and beautiful then. Oh, yes, that is the truth I will be telling you, though I will be seeing that you are laughing your sleeves at me.
When you will be 80, you will be knowing more about it. You will be remembering, maybe, that Queen Victoria and Prince Albert would be coming up to Balmoral every summer, and bringing their children with them, and they would not be bringing any more servants than they could help, for they would not be wanting fuss and pother, but just a quiet, nice time, like common folks. On Sundays they would be walking down sometimes to the church in the glen to be hearing Mr. Donald Macpherson preach. Mr. Donald Macpherson was very gifted in prayer, and he would not be liking it when people would come in when he was praying. He would be apt to be stopping and saying, "O Lord, we will be waiting until Sandy Big Jim has taken his seat." Oh, yes. I would be hearing the Queen laugh the next day. At Sandy Big Jim, you will be knowing, not at the minister. When they will be needing some more help at the castle, they just sent for me and Janet Jardine. Janet's husband was a gillie on the estate. She would always be saying to me, "Good morning, Mistress McIntyre," when we would be meeting, and I would be saying, "Good morning, Janet," just to be showing the superiority of the McIntyres over the Jardines. But she was a very good creature in her place, and we would be getting on very well together when she would not be forgetting it. I was very good friends with the Queen, oh yes. She was not a proud woman whatever. She would be sitting in my house at times and drinking a cup of tea, and she would be talking to me of her children. She was not very handsome, oh no, but she would be having a very pretty hand. Prince Albert was very fine-looking, so people would be saying, but to my mind Alistair was far the handsomer man. They would be very fine people, whatever, and the little princes and princesses would be playing about with my children every day. The Queen would be knowing they were in good company, and she would be easier in her mind about them than I was, for Prince Bertie was the daring lad if ever there was one, oh yes, and the tricky one, and I would be worrying all the time for the fear he and Alec would be getting into a scrape. They would be playing every day together, and quarrelling too. And it would not always be Alec's fault either, but it was Alec that would be getting the scolding, poor lad. Somebody would have to be scolded, and you will be knowing that I could not be scolding the Prince, my dear. There was one great worry I will be having, the burn behind the house and the trees. It was very deep and swift in places, and if a child should be falling in he would be drowned. I would be telling Prince Bertie and Alec time after time that they must never be going near the banks of the burn. They would be doing it once or twice for all that, and I would be punishing Alec for it, though he would be telling me that he did not want to go, and Prince Bertie would be saying, "Oh, come on, there will not be any danger, do not be a coward." And Alec he would be going, because he would be thinking he had to do what Prince Bertie wanted, and not looking very well either to be called a coward, and him a McIntyre. I would be worrying so much over it that I would not be sleeping at nights. And then, my dear, one day Prince Bertie would be falling right into the deep pool, and Alec would be trying to pull him out and falling in after him. And they would have been drowned together if I had not been hearing the skirls of them when I would be coming home from the castle after taking some buttermilk up for the Queen. Oh, yes, it is quick. I will be taking in what had happened and running to the burn, and it will not be long before I was fishing them out, very frightened and dripping. I will be knowing something had to be done, and I was tired of blaming for Alec. And besides, it will be truth, my dear, that I was very, very mad, and I was not thinking of princes and kings, but just of two very bad little boys. Oh, it is the quick temper I will always be having. Oh, yes. I will be picking up Prince Bertie and turning him over my knee, and I will be giving him a sound spanking on the place the good Lord will be making for spanks in princes as well as in common children. I will be spanking him first because he was a prince. Then I spanked Alec, and they made music together, for it was very angry I was, and I will be doing what my hands will be finding to do with all my might, as the good book says. Then when Prince Bertie had gone home, very mad, I will be cooling off and feeling a bit frightened. For I will not be knowing just how the Queen will be taking it, and I will not be liking the thought of Janet Jardine triumphing over me. But it is a sensible woman Queen Victoria was, and she will be telling me next day that I did right, and Prince Albert will be smiling and joking to me about the laying on of hands. And Prince Bertie would not be disobeying me again about going to the burn, oh no, and he could not be sitting down very easy for some time. As for Alistair, I had been thinking he would be fairly cross with me, but it will always be hard telling what a man will think of anything, oh yes, for he would be laughing over it, and telling me that a day would come when I could be boasting that I had spanked the king. It was all a long time ago now, but never will I be forgetting it. She would be dying 2 years ago, and Prince Bertie would be the king at last. When Alistair and I came to Canada, the Queen will be giving me a silk petticoat. It was a very fine petticoat of the Victoria tartan. I have never worn it, but I will be wearing it once, in my coffin, oh yes. I will be keeping it in the chest in my room, and they will be knowing what it is for. I will be wishing Janet Jardine could have known that I was to be buried in a petticoat of the Victoria tartan, but she has been dead for a long while.
She was a very good sort of creature, although she was not a MacIntyre.
Mistress MacIntyre folded her hands and held her peace. Having told her story, she was content. Emily had listened avidly. Now she said, "Mrs. MacIntyre, will you let me write that story down and publish it?"
Mistress MacIntyre leaned forward. Her white shriveled face warmed a little, her deep-set eyes shone.
"Will you be meaning that it will be printed in paper?"
"Yes."
Mistress MacIntyre rearranged her shawl over her breast with hands that trembled a little.
"It is strange how our wishes will be coming true at times. It is a pity that the foolish people who will be staying there is no God could not be hearing of this. You will be writing it out, and you will be putting it into proud words?"
"No, no," said Emily quickly. "I will not do that. I may have to make a few changes and write a framework, but most of it I shall write exactly as you told it. I could not better it by a syllable."
Mistress MacIntyre looked doubtful for a moment, then gratified.
"It is only a poor, ignorant body I am, and I will not be choosing my words very well, but maybe you will be knowing best. You have listened to me very nicely, and it is sorry I am to have kept you so long with my old tales. I will be going now and letting you get up."
"Have they found the lost child?" asked Ilse eagerly.
Mistress MacIntyre shook her head composedly.
"Oh, no, it is not finding them in a hurry they will be. I will be hearing Clara skirling in the night. She is the daughter of my son Angus. He will be marrying a Wilson, and the Wilsons will always be making a stramash over everything. The poor thing will be worrying that she was not good enough to the little lad, but it would always be spoiling him she was, and him that full of mischief. I will not be of much use to her. I have not the second sight. You will be having that a bit yourself, I am thinking. Oh, yes."
"No, no," said Emily hurriedly. She could not help recalling a certain incident of her childhood at New Moon, of which she somehow never liked to think.
Old Mistress MacIntyre nodded sagely and smoothed her white apron.
"It will not be right for you to be denying it, my dear, for it is a great gift, and my cousin Helen, four times removed, will be having it, oh yes. But they will not be finding little Alan, oh no. Clara will be loving him too much. It is not a very good thing to be loving anyone too much. God will be a jealous God, oh yes, it is Margaret MacIntyre who knows it. I will be having six sons once, all very fine men, and the youngest would be Neil. He was 6 feet 2 in his stockings, and there would be none of the others like him at all. There would be such fun in him, he would always be laughing, oh yes, and the whiling tongue of him would be coaxing the birds off the bushes. He will be going to the Klondike, and he will be getting frozen to death out there one night, oh yes. He will be dying while I was praying for him. I have not been praying since. Clara will be feeling like that now. She will be saying God does not hear. It is a very strange thing to be a woman, my dears, and to be loving so much for nothing. Little Alan was a very pretty baby. He will be having a fat little brown face and very big blue eyes, and it is a pity he will not be turning up, though they will not be finding my Neil in time, oh no. I will be leaving Clara alone and not vexing her with comforting. I was always the great hand to leave people alone. Without it, it would be when I spanked the king. It is Julia Hollinger who will be darkening counsel by words without knowledge. It is the foolish woman she is. She would be leaving her husband because he will not be giving up a dog he liked. I am thinking he was wise in sticking to the dog. But I will always be getting on well with Julia, because I will have learned to suffer fools gladly. She will enjoy giving advice so much, and it will not be hurting me whatever, because I will never be taking it. I will be saying good-bye to you now, my dears, and it is very glad I am to have seen you, and I will be wishing that trouble may never sit on your hearthstones. And I will not be forgetting either that you listened to me very polite, oh yes. I will not be of much importance to anybody now, but once I spanked the king."
End of chapter 14.